We were going to open our Bibles out of the book of Luke. We'll read 11 verses out of the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 to 11. Okay, verses 1 to 11. Luke 5, 1 to 11. What a beautiful story here. Actually did take place, okay? It's not a made-up story. And he says in Luke 5, started in verse 1, he says, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, and which was Simon's, and pray him that he would trust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out unto the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered, saying unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and the net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus, kneeling, saying, Depart from me, for I am not a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with him. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. You may have a seat. I don't know how many of you like fishing. Honestly, at my age, I do not like donating blood to the mosquitoes. And I used to go fishing, not anymore. But, it's fun taking my kids fishing. And, you know, there are many stories about fishermen, right? Many false stories and many jokes. I remember this one where this man, they always talked after they went fishing, and if somebody said, I caught one about this big, his was like this. He always got the biggest one. So one day his friends, they were tired of his lies, so they decided to tie up his hands. And this man was passionate about fishing, so they tied up his hands. Then they started to talk about fishing. And so they say, how big was yours? And he said, oh, mine was about this big, and mine was this big. And so they asked him, how big was yours? And his hands were tied up, and he started going like this. This is how big his eye was. So he still won. Okay, well, so we know that there are many made-up stories, right? But you know what we have just read is a true story. It actually happened. And I believe that there are some very deep truths that we can learn out of this portion of Scripture, and for our spiritual life, for our family life, and for even as a church, there are some truths that we all can learn much. And we look at three scenarios. Okay, number one, we see action. Then we're going to look at adversity, verses 2 and 5. And then we're going to see achievement, verses 3 to 11. So let's see first of all the scenario of action, and there's joy and there's excitement and enthusiasm. As we read in verse 1, it says, the people press upon him to hear the word of God. You know, what a blessing. At this moment, it says, everybody wanted to be, to listen to Jesus. And, you know, people come together for many reasons. Sometimes they get together for a political, you know, a rally. And there's the people all crowded, and they come together. Sometimes, you know, they get together for a concert, or they come together for to protest, or they come together sometimes at a sports center or stadium or a soccer field. But do you know what a blessing it is to come together to hear God's word? And these people, they said they came together to hear the greatest preacher that has ever existed. No other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you would have loved to be there to hear him preach at the Sermon on the Mount? Or even right here in this story, people came together to hear God's word. And, you know, can I just remind you something of something? You know, that as you read this book, you are actually listening to God. You listening to Jesus. You can go Sermon on the Mount and you can hear the greatest preacher, the best preacher throughout history, our Lord Jesus himself. And, these people were there and they were passionate and they were excited and joyful to hear Jesus. Is that your attitude? Is that the way you come to church to hear God's word? Some people are more excited to go to Walmart than to go to church. It shouldn't be that way. And I hope that is not your case, your situation. But you know what? I want to be excited when I go to church. And I pray even today, even as I go to a conference, and we don't do that much in Uruguay unless we lead the conference. But you know, I always pray. I say, God, I want to hear your word. I want you to speak to me. Give me a tender heart. I don't want to come back the same way. Deal with my heart. I pray that that is your attitude. And so there was a lot of passion, and praise God for Christians that come with expectations, with joy, with fervor in their hearts to hear God's word. But not only do we look at action, then we look at a scenario of adversity. And look at verse 2 and 5. This is there's sadness, there's discouragement. And sometimes it comes right after excitement, right? So we have to be alert. Many times when you have a very high point, a high moment in your life, you need to be ready. Maybe discouragement, something will come, and you could get discouraged. So you need to be alert. And as we look at verse 2, he says, and the fishermen had gotten out of the ship and were washing their nets. He says that they had worked all night, and they had fished nothing. So we see Peter and his brother Andrew and John, they were discouraged. They were down because they had worked all night and they had caught nothing. Look at verse 5. It says, and Simon answered unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. So they have been out there in the deep sea, in the Sea of Galilee, and they have thrown their nets to the left and to the right and to the front, and I don't know how many times, maybe hundreds of times, and they have caught Nothing. Now, remember, for them, it was not a hobby. I know for some of us that we go fishing and we don't get nothing. That's fine. We still had a good time, right? And enjoyed ourselves. And that. Now, remember, these people, it was their business. They were professional fishermen. You know what it meant? Not catching anything? It meant not being able to pay their bills. Not having food in their table. Not being able to feed their family, their children. So it was no joke. And probably these men were professional. Probably one of the worst nights ever. They were out there. They were diligent. They had worked and nothing. But I don't know. How many of you recognize that when Jesus arrives, things change? Amen? And so I can think of that, you know. He came, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, about, and we still talk about before Christ and after Christ. And this world was never the same. So it is when a Christian surrenders to the Lord, when somebody repents of their sin and they call upon the Lord and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know I if I die, I'm going to end up in hell, but you love me and you're gracious. Please have mercy on me. I want to get saved. Your life will never be the same. I can think of people that, you know, in Uruguay, I was sharing with your pastor that it is so common for people that, let's say, a 60-year-old lady and comes and, oh, well, good, nice meeting. We're glad you're here. And yes, I said, well, I'm a little nervous. I've never been at church before. I say, okay, you will never at church. You were never at a Catholic church? No. I mean, they're serious. They never, never went to any church. Can you imagine? I'll never forget this one lady. She must have been maybe 65 years old. And we were going door to door and talking to them about the Lord. And we come to this house and this lady, I'm showing her a verse like John 3:16 or something like that. And so I let her hold the Bible and she starts shaking and I, what's going on? And she said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm nervous. I have never touched a Bible before. And, well, what a blessing it was to see her eventually get saved. And, so once, you know, Jesus comes, things change. And so let's look at see what happened here. And we see we went from a scenario of defeat to achievement. And so let's look at this. How did that happen? How do we go from a scene of failure and to a victory and for adversity to achievement, from sadness to joy, from nothing, from catching nothing to abundant, that they wouldn't even, they that was the greatest amount of fish they ever caught in the night, most likely. And the key to it is obedience. I know, you know, us adults, sometimes we just think that that's just for children, but it's for all of us. I never forget, I don't know how many hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times, telling my children, hey, listen, Mark, Bethany, come over here. It pays to be obedient. Do what is right. Obey the Lord. Do what God is telling you. And of course, we're going to we are going to be blessed. We're going to raise a good crop. And so Jesus gives two petitions to Peter, to Paul, I mean Peter. One small, not that hard. Then another one was really difficult. He says, and pray him that he would thrust out a little from the sea. So he gets Jesus into Peter's boat, and the people are crowded. They're pressing on him, so he wants to get a little far from the people so he can preach to them. And so he's there, and so Peter obeys, and he's preaching unto him. But then the second petition, he says, number four, verse four, he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. In other words, he's telling Peter, I want you to go back deep into the water. We know that they had already washing their nets, and they were finished for the day. It had been a terrible day, but they needed to go home. And, so now Jesus is asking him, I said, Peter, I want you to go back deep into the water. Peter could have given a list of many reasons why he shouldn't go back. He could have invented many. He could have given excuses. Peter could have said, Lord, I'm tired. And probably he was. Peter has said, Lord, the nets are already clean. Peter could have said, Jesus, wait a minute. I'm a fisherman. I've been doing this business all my life. You're a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? Why do you want me to go back? There's nothing out there. You know, Peter did struggle at the beginning. At the beginning, he kind of struggled, but he decided to obey Jesus. Even though what Jesus was asking him to go back into the, he was already in the morning, and he's going to go fishing. He knew the best time for fishing was at night. And he had been out there trying all night and nothing. There are no fish there. But Jesus is asking him to go, return to the sea, to the deep sea, water. And you know, it was illogical. It was inconvenient. It made no sense. But look at verse 5. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So Peter, he says, Jesus, what you're asking me to do doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. There are no fish there. But just because you're asking me to do it, I'm going to obey. We all must learn this lesson to obey the Lord. Sometimes he's asked us for very difficult things. I remember when I was pastoring a church in Dallas, Texas. We had a good Hispanic church growing. And then the Lord said, I want you in Uruguay. That was not easy. I remember calling my dad, my dad was never on military, but he should have been. He was a short man, and he was rough and very disciplined. And so I remember that was the hardest thing I could do, to call them, let them know that I was going to Uruguay. So I remember calling him and said, Dad, I'm going to Uruguay. And he said, so when are you getting back? And I said, well, no, Dad, we're going to go back as missionaries. He said, what does that mean? You mean you're going to live there? I say, yes, Dad. He makes no sense, Archie. Why are you making such a mess out of your life? Why are you going backwards? Hey, Archie, I brought you to this country so you could have a future. There's future here in this country. You know there's nothing over there. Back, you're going back to Latin America. You know there's no future for you. Archie, you're going to mess up your family. But you know what? We must obey. And I did struggle with it. And I knew what I was going into. We had love. We fell in love with all the comforts in this country. You know, carpet, air condition, garage for your car. All the comforts. But God said, go. You know, dear people, I'm so glad that I obeyed the Lord. I can think of what, it scares me, what the consequences, if I had not obeyed, would have been. So many people that heard the gospel and got saved. So many people, their lives were so messed up. Not long ago, as I was there sitting, as your pastor was here this morning, I was sitting there and I was looking down at the people, and I was kind of emotional as I was thought about that we will be coming to the States, and looking at the people, and I could see 4 or 5 people that had tried to commit suicide. And some of them more than once. And their life with no purpose. And thanks, I can think of Gabriel Morales, all that he had gone through. Yeah. A young man, and with so many things that he has gone through because of Satan, obviously. And I would not even share that because I see some small children here. But all that he went through, and just to think that he called upon the Lord and got saved. And to see him come into church, he had never been. He's like 32 years old. Never been at a church before. And coming to church, bringing his little boy with all the excitement and full of joy and asking, learning how to pray. And what a blessing. So Peter obeyed, and his friends, and they threw the net to where Jesus was asking them to do. And they said that they could not. There was so many fish, the net almost, their boat was sinking. So they had to call their partner, hey, come help us. And the other boat came, and both ships were full of fish. That's what happens when we obey. And then he says, well, Peter, now you're going to leave this job, and now you're going to be a fisher of men. And we know Peter obeyed. Who is the most prominent person in the first 12 chapters of Acts? Peter. Who preached there on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls came to know Jesus? Peter. So we are called to obey. Maybe God is calling you to the mission field. Maybe God is calling you to salvation. Maybe God is calling you to get rid of something that is harming you. Maybe a bad relationship. You see, a lot of what your future depends on your friends. You're going with the wrong crowd. You're going to regret it. And maybe God is leading you. I said, yeah, I know what you're saying, missionary. But you need to stop that. We need to cut that off and say, God, I know I need to stop this. Is God calling you this morning? Is God asking you to throw yourself in the deep water and do something that maybe it sounds illogical? It doesn't make a lot of sense. And Would you just trust him this morning? Maybe the Lord is calling you to be a missionary. I remember when he called me, I said, me, a missionary? I don't know what he's calling you, but I know God continues to speak. This was not just in the old days. God continues to speak today. Is he speaking to you? Would you please bow your hand, your heads down and pray? Lord God, thank you. Thank you for Peter's example that he obeyed, even though it didn't make sense. It was illogical. But because he obeyed, he saw a miracle. And his life was never the same. Would you please help us, dear God, to respond? Pastor, I'll let you.